Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together. And thank you, Lord, that we know that you are with us to minister to us life. We just open ourselves up to you, Lord, that you may just pour your spirit upon us, both to be able to share and to be able to hear, Lord, the things that you have for us today, the things that are going to make a difference, Lord, in our lives, as we receive them and as we receive them as your word, as your truth, as your power, as your anointing, as everything that you are going to use to quicken us and to enable us to be transformed in the way you want us to be. In Jesus' name. Amen. So, we've been looking at the helper. This is really the promise that God made for us from the very beginning. We are going to be not left by ourselves, but we have somebody with us, always dwelling in us, to help us in the things that we need to do. And we often forget because we don't see him, maybe. And I believe that we have to learn to be able to see him in the way he works. You know, it talks about in chapter 3 of the Gospel of John, you know, that as the wind, you see the wind, you know, when you see the, you don't see the wind, but you see the effect that the wind does. And this is very similar to the way the Holy Spirit works. You know, you can see things happening around you and you just see the physical thing without seeing what is behind it. And so we just miss the most important thing that is there. What he's doing directly around us and in our lives so that we can benefit. So we had to become sensitized to the reality of the spiritual world beyond the physical world around us. And because our eyes are used only to see the physical things and react to the physical things, we miss sometimes the things that God is doing and preparing and developing for us. So we had to learn. See, when we realize that he's not just around us doing things, but he's inside us. You know, Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is, you know, we need that hope. We need to have that feeling inside that is hopeful for the things that are going to happen. Because if you look at the world the way it is today, you know, I don't know what kind of hope they can get. It's getting from worse to worse. So they can't really, you know, if they don't know him, if they don't know that actually he's inside them, inside us, then we end up in a place of despair. And it's going to become more and more like that because that's what Jesus prophesies about. The heart within them melting for fear. We don't need to fear anything. We need to be as bold as lions. That's what they say, you know, the righteous is as bold as a lion. Because we know where we stand. We know our God. We know that the Holy Spirit is inside us to enable us to do the things that we need to do. And we have to remember that. That's the thing that we have to learn to do. Okay? But you know, and because of the times we are in, you see, we had to realize the times we are in and realize the way we fit in those days. We are here at a certain time in history for a purpose. Each one of us has a purpose in the eyes of God. But, and also a plan. But you see, not everybody is going to respond to that plan. See, God's plan for us is not fixed. God doesn't fix things. God uses people to fix things. Everything that he did was always through somebody that was functional for him to be able to achieve his purposes. I mean, that's the way he delivered Israel from Egypt. That's the way he does everything. That's the way he saved people today. He always uses somebody, most of the time. Paul was an exception. In a way, I was an exception too. But there are very few exceptions, and possibly there is a reason for that. Okay, and possibly the reason somebody was praying for me. I don't know who that person was, but that definitely must have been. So the idea is this, that we had to be willing to go along with God's plan for us. It's not going to, see, he needs people to respond to the call that they have in their life and to take action along those lines so that he can change them the way he wants them to become. You know, Moses was transformed from a prince in Egypt into, you know, a strange guy going around with the stick, you know, and taking people in the desert. But his life was much better than even if he had to go through all the things he had to go through. And it's the same for us. We had to make them decisions of commitment to follow that plan. This is something that we had to remember. A decision, a commitment to really follow and realize that there is a plan. And the way we've undefined the plan is really reading the Word. The Word is the source of our understanding. The Word is what gives us the things. The Word shows us something so important, and for these times, people are going to be transformed much more quickly than they were transformed before in the past, because Jesus' coming is close. And we had to deal with the environment that we are in. The environment we are in is not the environment that believers were 50 years ago. The church today is not the church it was 50 years ago. See, the things are happening. And we had to be able to see that. We don't need to figure out all the detail. You know, we need to know the season. If you don't try to find out more about stuff, you know, knowing the season means that you are willing to commit and to do the work that needs to be done within yourself and around you. Because God needs us. That is not that he really needs it in terms of he chose us to do it. So we need to take our place. And the place now that is what's happening today, if people realize it or not, is that God is transforming children into sons. And because of that, you know, this transformation doesn't happen because he just put it down on us. It comes out of our decisions. Everything that comes about is because we decide something. Our life is determined by our decisions. And when we decide to do what God tells us to do, then he can do the things that he wants to do through us. It's because we do that by faith, by believing what he says, by believing what the word says, by believing the way he communicates with us personally, that we are changed, transformed and empowered. You see, the button that puts in action God's power is our decision. We just push that button of faith in which we believe what he said and act on it, and he can do the work he said to do. He provides the power to achieve the things that we cannot do ourselves. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, last week we talked about, working together with Christ. See, this was his choice. You know, the idea that God works through us seems, consider, if you look at ourselves, just forget it. You know, how can he be so optimistic about good terms to think about that when we really a bit messed up? But, you know, he believes in us more than we sometimes believe in ourselves. Because we see all the difficulty and the problem when he says he sees our potential. And we have to allow that potential to come out, and how you do that? By faith. By believing what he said about us. So you have to go to the Word. That's the only way that you can become what you need to be, and you see what the Word says about you and start believing it and start acting like it. Even if when you see it says, well, I don't know if I can do that. No, you can't. But he can through you. So the idea is that you have to allow him. You see, you have to take the step. You know, God provides the input, but you have to take the action. He directs you, but you have to do. And as you do, he performs. His power is empowering you and working through you and producing things that you cannot do yourself. You know, I mean, this is all the commission. The Great Commission was, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. I mean, all the things that are listed there, you cannot do it yourself, but you can do it in his name. Because it's the power, his power working through you. You know, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. They shall, cast out devil. They cast, all the different, they can speak in new tongues. I mean, all these things that they said there, they happen as a result of your faith, believing and acting on what he said you will be able to do. Just parentheses here. You know, when you speak in tongues, you act on faith. That's the only way you can do that. Even if you make it by a decision you make. It's a decision that has to be followed by faith. Otherwise, you don't do it. So, I mean, you want to develop your faith? I mean, this is an extra. Just, I give you some bonus today. You know, the idea is you want to develop your faith. You know, James, says, Jude says 20, that you develop our faith through speaking on the Spirit. Well, you had to exercise your faith to do it. And as you do it, then you practice faith. You practice to be in that position of faith and to act on it. So that's why it develops, edifies your faith. Do you see the connection? That's why it's important not to do it for 5 minutes, because you see, our walk, 24 hours a day, should be a walk of faith and not of sight. So how do you grow into that? Well, you put yourself in a place in which you use your faith. Let's go back to the topic of today. I didn't want to miss that opportunity. All right. So are you following me? So we had to respond to the call we have in our life. And that involves then, dealing with all these things, the thing we do, the way we live. You know, we had to, last week I quote you Romans 8:1, says that, there is no condemnation on those who walk according to in Christ Jesus. No, they are in Christ Jesus. So that means, there is no condemn. There is no judgment on us. Okay. So the things that we have to, really what God wants us to do is to be able to walk in Christ all the time. Not just sometime when we in the morning, you know, go to church and then forget about it. Every moment of the day, we should be able to walk in Christ. And that means, you know, that all the manifestations associated with that are going to be there. And we have to expect that. And we have to be able to recognize it, even ourselves. Because when we know that there is no condemnation, we know that nothing can be put on us by anybody. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 4 says, but all things are we commend ourselves as minister of God. Ministers of God. See, we all are. I mean, there is not just a question of somebody that's a minister and somebody that, you know, this is going to change even more in the future. As believer takes their place. In much patience. You see, that's the way we commend ourselves. See, the way we demonstrate what we that we are walking in Christ. And we see ourselves that we are walking in Christ. You know, in much patience, in tribulations, and that does mean, you know, means that there are some attacks come to us as a result. In needs, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumult. Those it means, you know, that the fact that we take a position for Christ is going to produce reaction to us and people are not going to like us. See, most of these things have to do with this. The fact that we take a position. And so as a result of that, we get flack. We get problems with others. Okay? So, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. You know, strange, you know, doesn't talk at all about sicknesses here. I mean, it talks about before, about the tribulation or not sickness there. You know, that means, you know, that we are put into difficult situations. You know, the fact that we get sick doesn't mean that we are in Christ. It means that we are oppressed. That's what Jesus said. That's what, you know, in Book of Acts says too. That's what today was mentioned even in the scripture about Acts 10:38. You know, that Jesus went around doing good and he all were oppressed by the devil. Okay. By purity, by knowledge, by long suffering, that means by patience, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit. You see, the fact that the Holy Spirit is in us and manifests himself. That means, you know, what does it mean, the Holy Spirit? You know, the fact that we commend ourselves by the Holy Spirit, evidently that we are operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise means nothing. Okay? He's not saying, I have the Holy Spirit. Well, show it to me. Amen? It's not words. You know, the kingdom of God is not words, it's power. And joy and everything else. Praise the Lord. All right. By sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, and even goes more in detail, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. You see, these are the fruit of the Spirit manifesting, that was listing them all inside us that should be manifested in our life. See, we should look in this world strange because we act strangely. Because we act the way Jesus acted. Hallelujah. And then goes on and he says, you know, lots of things, but you know, you can see that many of the things that send here is the fact that you are willing to go through hardship and problem because you are serving him and doing the things he called us to do. That doesn't mean that you are not blessed as a result of that. Anything that you give up for him is going to be a manifold reward for you. Okay, verse 11. We can continue a long list, but You got the idea. So Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You see, just being honest with them and telling them as it is. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. So you see, say, you know, he's showing you all these things and all these promises, and we don't put limits on us, on you. But you put your limit on yourself because you are following your affection and your desire instead of following God's affections and God's desire. And this is now in return for this, for the same, I speak as to children, I also be open. So he's open, you see, he said, I'm being open with you, now be open too. Receive what I'm saying and understand it and appropriate what I'm saying. See, what he's saying to them is do something about the call that you have in your life. And people say, well, I don't know what the call is in my life. See, the point is, Jesus provided the how and the what for us so that we can operate and develop that way. And this is given in John chapter 14, verse 12. You see, the bottom line is to do, to act, to take the position that you have. It can seem far away. People say, well, you know, I'm too young. Somebody, I'm too old. I'm not educated. I'm this and the other. That has nothing to do. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, what your status is, whatever. You know, God can work through you supernaturally. And you can see the supernatural power of God working through you in ways that are beyond what you can ever imagine. But you have to respond to that. And you have to allow the way God is going to do it. God planned to do it for you. And this is, he said it very clearly in John chapter 14, verse 12. It says, most assuredly. You know, sometimes we got used to read the Bible and we read words and they mean nothing. Most assured is like a vow, is like a, you know, something that he put his credibility on stake. This is something that he, you know, it was a very serious statement that he made. And this most assuredly means, you know, this is goes on my credibility. Okay? I say to you, he who believes in me, that means everybody that believes in me. In him. Okay? Not just pastors and apostles, evangelists and so on, and teachers and so on. No, everybody who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also in greater works than these we will do because I go to my Father. So this is a statement we made, and he put his own reputation on the spot for that. So he said, you know, you have a call? I am providing you the ability to respond to that call. The things that I do, see, that evidently he gave importance to the things that he was doing. Okay? The operation that he, in which he worked in his life by the Holy Spirit, it was really the same thing that is expected for us to do. Okay? And whatever you ask, now this is, you know, we have to remember this scripture. I mean, this should be put in your bathroom, in your kitchen, in your door, everywhere in the house, because you need to remember that. And you have to know that, and the first reaction that you have to have whenever you have a need is to remember that scripture. And it says, and whatever you ask, let's say it together. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Did you get what he said? I mean, everything. Everything? Everything. Now, evidently, everything applies to in his name. Because you cannot say everything without forget the part that comes after. That means that, you know, everything that you ask has to be in agreement with his name. He should be able to stand for that. You know, if you want to rob a bank, you ask, it's not going to work. Oh, you may be even successful, but he's not backing you up. Are you still there? All right. So he continues, just, you know, it's just to make sure that he just push it in. Says verse 14, and if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So this is sometimes he says, you know, I wonder if God is going to answer this prayer. What is it saying here? Are you praying? You see, first of all, you have to know that what you're asking lines up with the word of God. So you have to know the word. If you don't know the word, you are not in the position to do anything. So that's where we start. You start to know the word. And then, you know, when you ask about what something that lines up with the word, your expectation is that, and his promise, not just your expectation, his promise that he will do, so that he, the Father, is going to be glorified through him. And through you. Because what you do is you bring glory to God. It's not you doing it. It's the Holy Spirit walking in him. And if you love me, verse 15, keep my commandment. And mostly the commandment was to really to do what he told you to do, which is to do the work he had you want to do. Okay? Verse 16. And I will pray. Now, the word pray there, erotao, is in Greek. It means actually to ask or request a favor. Okay? I request a favor to the Father, and he will give you another helper or a comforter. It's called paraclete. You know, the one that is called to be alongside with you so that you, to help you to do something. He's not just going to go around you so that you feel, oh, somebody's coming around with a trip with me. No, he's there to help you to do the things that you should be doing. He's helped you to do the perform the act that Jesus was performing. He's helping you to enable you, to empower you to achieve the purposes of God in your life. And then, you know, he'll give you another helper. They may be abiding you forever. I mean, you're going to be, he's going to follow you like a little dog. Wherever you go, he goes. So you don't know to go to a place to find the Holy Spirit. When you go to the place, the Holy Spirit goes there because you go there. If it's inside you, it goes with you. And when you get a bunch of people with him inside, there is a concentration of Holy Spirit there. They should be just exploding. If they just let it out, instead of pressing it and keeping it in, just let to do the work that is due. You know, when one does one thing, the other one does another, and then, you know, it's pop, 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 like popcorns. One after the other. This is really the way the Holy Spirit works in the early church. That was the normal thing. And we need to get back there. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that the early church was everything perfect. Oh, no, there was lots of conflict, lots of stuff, just as bad as today. But one thing was different. Faith was working. Today, most of the places, faith, don't even know what the word means. And that's the sad part. Because everything that we do that is worth anything is done by faith. It's not by any other way. So unless we do it by faith, by believing what he said and putting to work and willing to step out from what he said, nothing is going to happen. Praise you, Lord. But you need to, for do that, you have to have faith and you have to realize depending on him. Depending on otherwise, you know, Otherwise, you have a helper that is out of business, doesn't do anything. He's there, but nothing happens. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, that should be the attitude that we have. That should be what we expect God to do in our lives and through us. So, you know, we should never give up, never be defeated. Never, we should always continue to do and to do the things that God said to do. Even when things don't go the way we think we have to go, because our mind hasn't caught up really what's happening. See, we are in a battle. You know, in John chapter 14, verse 17 says, the Spirit of truth, that's the Holy Spirit, is the being, you know, whom the world cannot receive. You see, the word there receive is lambano, which is really claim or appropriate or take. See, the world cannot take that. Because he neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him. You know, if you are born again, if especially if you are spirit-filled, you know him. He's inside you and you should be able to connect with him. I mean, if he is inside you and you don't connect with him, he's wasting his time there. You have to want to connect with the Holy Spirit. You have to be open to his communication and his direction. See, how is he going to do what I just finished reading before? Whatever I ask, you ask in my name, I will do it. He does it because the Holy Spirit is inside you and he's operating. They say he's right there picking up the information that you need to do and he's releasing the power through you so that it's going to do the things that you are asking. See, the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because neither see him nor know him, but you know him, and he dwells in you and will be with you and in you. So it's going to be there. You see, that's the thing you have to expect. You are not left alone. He is there with you. He is the helper. That means whenever you need help, on that spot, on that moment, that's the time when he's available to help. It's not some other time in the future. You see, it's right now. God doesn't wait for you. Well, you know, I had to get the Holy Spirit to pray for 24 hours and fast for 20 days, and maybe after he's going to do something. No, he's inside you. For the purpose of doing something or helping you when you need help. So when you need help, ask for help and expect the help to come. And part of the way the help comes is by understanding and taking the next step that he provides for you. He is going to give you the direction that you need for the next step that you had to do that sometimes may make absolutely no sense to your logical mind. But he's going to push the button for him to come out and perform the miracles that is required. Are you following me? See, this is the way it worked with Jesus. This is the way it should work with us. It's his desire. It's his plan from the beginning. And finally, Jesus did it. And at the beginning, that's the way the church worked. They didn't have mega churches in those days. I don't think you get many miracles in mega churches. Why? There should be more. Sometimes you get miracles in evangelistic meeting because, you know, but it's not mega church. Are you following what I'm saying? See, people don't expect anything. They expect the 1-2-3 message that is a psychological idea as to how to do things and how to do business. That's not the way God works. We are dealing with a supernatural God doing supernatural things for us and through us. And so we have to act and respond to what he says rather than these ideas that are men's ideas. They're not God's idea. They're not in the scriptures. Praise the Lord. You know, he is going to dwell in us. He said, I will not leave you orphaned. So, you know, forget about I'm all by myself. You are never by yourself. What you have to develop is a consciousness of the presence of God with you. No matter where you are, what you do, you can be cleaning dishes or, you know, doing the gardening or, you know, some even dirty, messy business, you know, that gets you all dirty, but still the Holy Spirit is inside you. And he wants to do something. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So don't say, you know, that's one thing. Don't say, I'm by myself. You know, I'm left alone. Don't say, what am I going to do next? In the sense that you don't know what to do. Because you can ask him, what do you want me to do next? See, that's a completely different attitude. One is, what am I going to do next? You know, I have no idea. Well, if you have no idea, you are going to have no idea. What you had to do instead is said, okay, oh, this is a challenge now. Huh? I don't know here. My mind doesn't know what to do here, but I'm not by myself and I can ask the boss. And you ask him. And he gives you the direction that you need. And then you say, oh, should I do that? Don't say, should I do that? Go right ahead and do it. Do it in faith because it's going to work. Praise the Lord. Asking in faith. Asking for direction. Asking. This is the way Jesus, you know, Jesus was never there at a loss with what to do next. Was he? No matter what the situation was, maybe he was there playing around with the sand on the floor, you know, and doing things, and he was answering the right thing because he was not wondering what was going to do next. He was asking what to do next to the Father. And he was trusting that what the Father was going to tell him, he could depend on. See, that's walking in faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. I think we ran out of time. I don't think I can open another thing here, another scripture. I have to do it next time. Okay. I just read it. All right. So 14:26, John 14:26 says there, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, we already got it, so we don't need to wait for him to send him. Will teach you all things. Can you say all things? All things. And bring you to remembrance all things that I said to you. So if he is bringing to remembrance means one thing to me, that he might have told you before. Otherwise, you couldn't bring to remembrance. So the implication there that you know the word already. If you don't know the word and you are asking God for things, you have not clue what he's telling you, because there is no basis for you to assess what you get. And sometimes you can get crazy things in your head. Are you following what I'm saying? So I'm telling you this, you know, what we have to do is to stay in the Word as much as possible, so that the Word become part of our thinking processes. And then when we see, that gives us the background, that gives us the ground on which we operate. If we don't have that, and we just take the wind, anything can come around. See, has to bring something up to us that is in agreement with what the Word of God says. If not in agreement, then it can come from somewhere else. And those things happen too. So we had to realize that there is a preparation for us to be able to operate at that level. There is a preparation for us to be able to hear from him. See, my sheep hear, know my voice. To know his voice means, you know, that you heard them many times before. And what it tells you, just confirm what he said before. It just lines up. Praise the Lord. All right, I think we can close with that. Praise the Lord. See, we have to start looking at the Holy Spirit as not as some weird things that happens or stuff, but is somebody inside you, directing you, enabling you, guiding you, and empowering you to walk in faith. And all the things that he's going to direct you about, you are to take them by faith. But that to be lining up with the Word. So that everything, see, everything works together for good. For those who love God and are called to his purpose. Amen? All right, you get anything today? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, today for the Holy Spirit, for the Helper. Lord, he's encouraging for us. He's give us hope, Lord, in deal with situations, Lord, that are beyond our capacity to deal with. But, Lord, nothing is impossible to you. And you said that nothing is impossible to them that believe. And, Lord, we believe. We trust in you. We trust in the Holy Spirit within us that you gave us. And we know, Lord, that through him, Lord, we can be conquerors because Jesus was conquerors. Hallelujah. We thank you and praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.